The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down and eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The Gospel of the Lord. It was during a trip to a country in the European Union that I found myself moving towards the back of the group of travelers, about 30 of us, as we walked down a side street of the town we were exploring. Our guide, who was in the process of explaining some of the history of the buildings that we were passing by, turned a corner and was now out of sight and out of hearing range, as was most of the group. Only a couple generously spaced people remained in sight. What had caused me to move to the back was that I had previously warned a woman who was slowly losing touch with the group because of her frequent stops to take many, many pictures. It would be a good idea if she would tuck her wallet that was sticking out of the top of the bag strapped over her shoulder deeper into the bag. She dismissed my advice as unnecessary. But now I had noticed two young men crossing the now deserted street, walking quickly in her direction. I fell in place behind the woman and matched her pace. The young men noticed me. They took note and they slowed their approach. Then our eyes met. And I shook my head, no. They paused in the middle of the mostly abandoned street. They spoke a few words among themselves. They smiled at me. They smiled at one another. And then they turned and went back in the direction from which they had come and reported back to the woman whom I did not at first see, the one who probably sent them to snatch the beckoning wallet. A little responsible fear on behalf of my fellow traveler might have encouraged her to be better prepared for the possibility of thieves. But then again, my fear of a possible theft kept me, at least momentarily, from experiencing the sights and sounds of an unknown country. I have read that there are people who were born in Hawaii, who spent their entire lives on one island and were gently laid to rest beneath their native dirt without ever having seen any of the other islands, let alone the mainland of the United States or any other portion of the world. So comfortable and incurious are they that they seldom wish to know about the world beyond their local horizon, let alone go exploring somewhere unknown. Now, it's not that they lack the resources to travel, to investigate, to learn, to grow. Perhaps it is simply that they lack the heart to do so. Some people are spiritually like that. They are familiar and comfortable with what they know and believe, and seldom wish to push themselves further on in the faith and in life. They are part of a vast universe, this extensive, overwhelming cosmos, and yet they are not exceedingly curious about it all. They tend to occupy only a small part of it and cannot envision anything beyond their limited horizon. In fact, there is this tendency in some areas of our life in all of us. The author of the New Testament letter to the Hebrews scolds people of such limited vision and faith. He lifts up the name of Abraham and other pioneers of the faith who ventured beyond physical and metaphysical horizons in response to God's call. Abraham trusted God's call to leave the comfort and familiarity of his home in Ur and travel to the unknown land of Palestine to become the progenitor of the Hebrews. In the New Testament, Abraham was the ancestor not only to those who are described as the seed of Abraham, but also of the body of believers in Jesus Christ as well. His faith in God's promise became the type of faith leading to justification by faith. His faith was reckoned to him as righteousness because he trusted God's word. Abraham's life under God is an outstanding illustration of faith in action, especially when it led him into unknown lands beyond his own limited horizon. And that is the measure of what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, at least not seen yet. I was raised in a family that looked forward in August, about this time of the year, every year, to our 2 weeks of vacation down there at Wildwood, New Jersey. In those days, it was a four-hour drive from our non-air-conditioned home in Philadelphia to our non-air-conditioned rented apartment at the shore. Each day that it didn't rain, we spent about 6 hours on the sand or in the water. When the lifeguards departed for the day, we did too. After dinner at the apartment, we youngins were off to the boardwalk for roller coasters and bump cars and mini golf and games and so forth. Often we were joined by some of our relatives whose vacations overlapped with our own. I don't know what the adults were doing during this time, probably whatever they did the year before. But I do know that we went to the same place every year, and for the most part did the same things year after year after year after you get it. And we all enjoyed our wonder-filled visits to the beach. They were glorious for us. It was during my first year living on a college campus that I realized just how small our horizon had been. Like so many families, then and now, we repeated venturing forth with those things which were predictable, felt comfortable for us, were safe, because to do otherwise, to experience something we did not already know, would call up an anxiety within us we did not want to experience. H.P. Lovecraft, a writer, says of fear, "The oldest and strongest emotion of humanity is fear, and the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown." Fear is a difficult emotion that can deeply disturb us and our lives. We are not at peace with ourselves when we are filled with fear. Rather, we are on edge, agitated, anxious, apprehensive, maybe even a bit paranoid, waiting for the next feared event to occur, if it ever will. To all that, we are admonished in the first verse of our gospel reading this morning, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Give you the kingdom. Implied is that the gaining of the kingdom is an antidote to fear. In the world at present, there's much need for this antidote because there is so much to fear about so many situations, so many dangers associated with them. Fear is everywhere these days, troubling people in so many ways. Fear can be such a strong feeling, it can inhibit us, disturb us so that we are unable to move forward in life because of what we dread in the future. The anxiety of what we do not know can make us retreat to what we do know, where we feel secure. How many good intentions, then, have not been fulfilled because of uneasiness of the unknown? Surely, there are many circumstances that rightly arouse fear within us. A couple of young thieves crossing a street to snatch a wallet. An earthquake of such magnitude that tsunami warnings are issued from the eastern shores of Russia across the Pacific Ocean all the way to our western coast. Changes in federal laws that may mean the elimination of a position we have depended upon for years to support ourselves and our families. The possible loss of health insurance. Nuclear war. We hear a great deal about what global warming may mean for the future. More intense forest fires, tornadoes, and floods. Indeed, frightening weather reports dominate the evening news. Many of us here can remember the day when the weather report was 3 minutes long. Now it's half of a news broadcast. We worry. We're afraid. We so often fear that we might miss out on some things in life that we do not already have, or lose some of the things that we have had for a long time to some unknown future, that we miss living life now altogether. Jesus says, sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here we are encouraged not just to have faith in Christ, but also to have the faith of Christ, and have our minds bent not on fearful things, but to step out into a world where walking with Christ eliminates the idea, the very idea, that our lives are ruled by anxiety and worry and fear. We move closer to the true source of our faith when it is put into action as Abraham's faith was put into action. We are not to be distracted by the love and false security of worldly possessions or a faith that will not continue to grow or by anything else that seems a tyrant in our lives, that rages against us, but trusting in God's promises for deliverance. We are not just to believe such, we are to live our lives as such. Don't just worry about having enough for retirement. I'm finished doing that nonsense. Jesus says, give alms also. Don't forget the poor in all of your worry. Where our heart is, there our treasure can be of courageous service to other people in the world. The conclusion of our gospel reading today ends on a surprise note. Who would have ever thought that the Son of Man might come as a thief? When one gets ready for a thief, one needs to be well prepared. You lock your doors, you arm the security system, and so forth. Of course, the problem in our lives is that sometimes we are so very vigilant that what we believe may rob us of something may also keep out the one who offers us great blessings and whose good pleasure it is to give us the kingdom.